Dear friends, we gather this day on the traditional and unceded territory of the Algonquin Nation.
May the Holy Spirit descend with respect and peace.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, you have built your church on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Join us together in unity of spirit by their teaching, that we may become a holy temple acceptable to you. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
A reading from the book of Habakkuk. The oracle that the prophet Habakkuk saw. O Lord, how long shall I cry for help, and you will not listen? Or cry to you violence, and you will not save? Why do you make me wrongdoing and look at trouble? Destruction and violence are before me, strife and contention arise. So the law becomes slack, and justice never prevails. The wicked surround the righteous, therefore judgment comes forth perverted. I will stand at my watchpost and station myself on the rampart. I will keep watch to see what he will say to me and what he will answer concerning my complaint. Then the Lord answered me and said, Write the vision, make it plain on tablets, so that a runner may read it. For there is still a vision for the appointed time. It speaks of the end and does not lie. If it seems to tarry, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. Look at the proud. Their spirit is not right in them, but the righteous live by their faithfulness. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. A reading from the second letter of Paul to Timothy. Paul, apôtre du Christ Jésus par la volonté de Dieu, selon la promesse de la vie qui est dans le Christ Jésus, à Timothée, mon enfant bien-aimé. Grâce, miséricorde, paix de la part de Dieu le Père et du Christ Jésus notre Seigneur. Je suis plein de reconnaissance envers Dieu, que je sers à la suite de mes ancêtres avec une conscience pure, lorsque sans cesse, nuit et jour, je fais mention de toi dans mes prières. En me rappelant tes larmes, j'ai un très vif désir de te revoir, afin d'être rempli de joie. J'évoque le souvenir de la foi sincère qui est en toi, foi qui habita d'abord en Loïs, ta grand-mère, et en Eunice, ta mère, et qui, j'en suis convaincue, réside aussi en toi. C'est pourquoi je te rappelle d'avoir à raviver le don de Dieu qui est en toi depuis que je t'ai imposé les mains. Car ce n'est pas un esprit de peur que Dieu nous a donné, mais un esprit de force, d'amour et de maîtrise de soi. N'aie donc pas honte de rendre témoignage à notre Seigneur, et n'aie pas honte de moi, prisonnier pour lui. Mais souffre avec moi pour l'Évangile, comptant sur la puissance de Dieu, qui nous a sauvés et appelés par un saint appel, non en vertu de nos œuvres, mais en vertu de son propre dessein et de sa grâce. Cette grâce qui nous avait été donnée avant les temps éternels dans le Christ Jésus, a été manifestée maintenant par l'apparition de notre Sauveur, le Christ Jésus. C'est lui qui a détruit la mort et fait briller la vie à l'immortalité par l'Évangile pour lequel j'ai été, moi, établi héros, apôtre et docteur. Voilà pourquoi j'endure ces souffrances, mais je n'en ai pas honte, car je sais en qui j'ai mis ma foi, et j'ai la certitude qu'il a le pouvoir de garder le dépôt qui m'est confié jusqu'à ce jour-là. Prends pour nom les saintes paroles que tu as entendues de moi, dans la foi et l'amour qui sont dans le Christ Jésus. Garde le bon dépôt par l'Esprit Saint qui habite en nous. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thank you. with you.
Also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." The Lord replied, "If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. Who among you would say to your slave who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, 'Come here at once and take your place at the table'? Would you not rather say to him, 'Prepare supper for me, put on your apron and serve me while I eat and drink. Later you may eat and drink'? Do you thank the slave for doing what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, 'We are worthless slaves. We have done only what we ought to have done.'" The Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
May these spoken words be faithful to the written word and lead us to the living word, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. If only I had a little more faith. Yes, I've said that on occasion. Have you? Over the years, I've heard people sigh and sort of say, "If only I had a little more faith." Usually they're facing some kind of difficulty that life has confronted them with. The sickness of a loved one, the loss of a job, some mountain in front of them that needed to be moved. Maybe a little more faith would take the sting away. I've heard church communities say something similar to, maybe with slightly different words, but when faced with dwindling resources or a challenging outreach demand, "If only we had a little more faith, we could get through these tough times." We're in good company. The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." Jesus had been pushing them pretty hard in his teaching. There were many challenging words for the rich and for those with power. He said that in the coming kingdom, the roles would all be reversed and the tables turned upside down. And on this particular day, at least the way St. Luke has arranged these sayings of Jesus, he told the disciples that they should be people of forgiveness. When people offended them, they were to forgive. Once, yes, of course. But no, Jesus said they were to keep on forgiving. And if the same person sins against you 7 times a day and turns back to you 7 times and says, "I repent," you must forgive. Really? The apostle said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." Because all of that, frankly, sounds undoable, unreasonable. Jesus, the one who had invited them to leave so much behind and step out and follow him, could he not give them a little more faith? Remember, we're not talking here about the stuff that you believe in your head. I don't think that's what they were asking for. You know, could you fill our head with a few more religious truths? I don't think so. And I don't think that believing what they were seeing was the problem either, because they were seeing Jesus with their own eyes. They were following him, watching him, listening to him, being changed by him. It was rather the assurance that they were indeed walking on the right path. This is hard work, Jesus. We're just not sure we can do this. And Jesus replied, if you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, and there must have been one maybe just on the path beside where he was speaking, and it's a sizable tree with very complex and sizable roots. You could say to this tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. If you want to see a little picture of that during coffee, the display in the chancel shows a tree toppled over in the sea. I used to hear this as a kind of chastisement. You know, Jesus saying to the disciples, you dimwits, if only you had a little bit of faith. It doesn't take much at all. It's just a little bit like a mustard seed. But, you know, over time, I have really changed on that. I've come to see it more as encouragement. If only you have a little bit. You only need a little bit of walking with me, of being with me, of understanding who I am and living in the same way. You only need a little bit of that, because we're talking about faith as a relationship with God. It's a way of seeing. It's a way of orienting our lives. Faith is about being with Jesus and all that he means, all that he shows us, all that he teaches, all that he points to. The way St. Luke writes this part, he says it's the apostles that ask Jesus for more faith rather than the disciples, probably the exact same group of people here. But the choice to call them apostles reminds us that it is the work of these people to go out into the world and do the work of Jesus, because apostle means sent ones, to teach his message, to do his work, to practice forgiveness, mercy, justice, love. Faith is about being open to the possibility that God can and does work through us to do great things. It helps us face the tough times because we are confident that God is always the faithful one, will never abandon us, no matter how hard the going gets. It's as though Jesus is saying to his followers, you're already with me? Stick with me. You've got plenty of faith already. Together, we will do great things. I think I was about 10 or 12 when Anne Murray sang the award-winning country song, Put Your Hand in the Hand of the Man Who Stilled the Water. We were on a family camping trip, and my mother had that song on an 8-track tape player. It must have been her favorite, because I remember her playing it over and over and over again. Take a look at yourself, and you can look at others differently by putting your hand in the hand of the man from Galilee. Jesus says you only need a little bit of that kind of faith. Well, I do want to say a word about the second part of the gospel, because it's rather more jarring this morning. Jesus tells a parable about slaves and their master and the relentless work expected of the slaves, and then suggests that the disciples are like the slaves in the story. He tells them to say, we are worthless slaves, we have only done what we ought to have done. When I first read that passage this week, I recalled a Sunday school teacher some years back who had a rather rambunctious group of, I think, 6 to 10-year-olds, mostly boys, and 2 of her own children in the group. As the summer was approaching and the end of the Sunday school year, she asked me if she could come to see me. She came into my office with an arm full of books and supplies and a harumph and sort of said, I'm done. I can't do it anymore. I'm finished teaching these kids. Tell me more, I queried. Well, she said, the curriculum is the same, week in, week out. It doesn't seem to matter what the scripture readings are. The message is the same. You're special and God loves you. She said, I love the kids and I know God loves them too, but sometimes there has to be another message. Well, I couldn't help but wonder how the curriculum would have handled we are worthless slaves. I'm not so sure myself. All of us chanting, we are worthless slaves, it just doesn't seem to work. And the word is slave. Some translations soften it and say servant, but the words are quite different in Greek, and slave is the one used here, a person who is owned by another. We know that this kind of relationship among human beings is fundamentally wrong at its core. So how can Jesus be using such a bad example to teach us something about faith or discipleship? He is surely making a very strong point to those apostles, those sent ones, that it is Jesus who is doing the sending, doing the modeling, doing the equipping. He is the master in the story. They are watching, learning, repeating. They are sent to do the master's work. And it's pretty clear that that work is never done. There is always more truth telling, more justice making, more healing, more forgiveness, more peacemaking. There is always more, isn't there? Always more work to be done. And none of that work by Jesus' followers is to be done for reward or recognition. All work for the sake of the kingdom of God is done because it is the right thing to do. Full stop. Jamie and I love to hike. We've just spent a week at Mont Tremblant, which included some wonderful, fairly tough hikes up mountains. We did take the gondola down a couple of times, but enough's enough. On one hike, I remember sort of asking Jamie, and we were talking a little bit about, why do we like hiking so much? You know, there's great viewpoints, there's different terrain underfoot, there's changing vegetation around us. Of course, this week, the colors there were magnificent. Jamie said something as we were hiking up this steep incline that for him, hope is always around the next corner. I hope I've got that right. Hope is always, and for me, I was reflecting on this, and it seems to me that as we were going up this steep path, and you know, there's a turn, and then you go around the turn, and then there's more rocks and roots, and you're kilometers away from the top, you know that. There is actually only one thing to do. This is kind of what I like about hiking, and the only one thing to do is put one foot in front of the other and keep going. Watch for Jesus in the week ahead. It seems to me the psalm maybe sums it up very well. Put your trust in the Lord and do good.
Thank you. Lord Jesus Christ, let your presence fill our hearts and overflow in our actions, that we may proclaim the good news of your kingdom. Fill us with your welcoming spirit of truth, that we may faithfully teach, baptize, and nurture those who come to believe in you. As you came to serve and not to be served, fill us with the compassion and insight to respond to human need by loving service. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. O God, look with compassion on the whole human family. Take away the arrogance and hatred which infect our hearts. Break down the walls that separate us. Unite us in bonds of love. And work through our struggle and confusion to accomplish your purposes on earth, that in your good time, all nations and races may serve you in harmony. Teach us to love people just as they are, and embrace their identity fully, as you have embraced us. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. We pray for the church. We remember Sarah, the incoming Archbishop of Canterbury. We pray for Shane, our primate, Anne, our metropolitan, and all who minister at St. John's. We pray for the guidance of the Holy Spirit as we prepare to elect a new bishop, for those discerning a call to let their name stand for election, for the candidates, for members of synod, and for our diocesan administrator, Bishop Michael Byrd. In our diocese, we uphold St. Matthew's Ottawa and the Reverend Jeff Chapman. We remember in our prayers our diocesan partners, alongside Hope and the Anglican Foundation. And we pray for the Evangelical Lutheran Church in Canada and their newly installed National Bishop, Larry Corkendorfer. Let us pray to the Lord. We pray for all people, for places where there is war or famine, remembering especially Ukraine and Gaza. Restore to new life the places in this world that suffer from conflict and are deaf to the message of peace. May those who lead the nations of the world be given wisdom. We lift up Charles, our king, Mark, our prime minister, Doug and Francois, our premiers, Mark and Maud, our local mayors, and all in authority. Let us pray to the Lord. We pray for the healing of hearts and minds, that the healing touch of Jesus will restore us and give us new hope. We pray for those we know who are in hospital or ill at home or in need of any kind. We uphold in our prayers Alex, James, Alice, David, Barton, Sarah, and Doug. Let us pray to the Lord. We pray for those who have died in your peace, that they may sing your praises without ceasing for all eternity. And we pray for those who mourn. We give thanks for the life of Dora Broughton, in whose loving memory the altar flowers this day are given by Bill Broughton. Let us pray to the Lord. Loving God, we pray that we may bear the fruit of your Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness. Take firm root in our lives, so that we may lovingly serve and welcome all with no exceptions. Help us to live together in your love and shine as lights in the darkness to reveal your glory in the world. Amen.
As our Savior taught us, let us pray.
Thank you.
Glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation in the Church and in Christ Jesus forever and ever. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and strengthen you and keep you today and always. Amen.
To love and serve the Lord.